Business.
That's right.
All right. Just tell us a bit about you, your family, and the mission organization you work for.
Yeah, so I'm Paul. I'm married to Naomi, and we have three children, Ryan, Abby, and Jacob, who are 11, 9, and 6. And they all go to actually Thornley West Public School. We live not far away from here, just around the corner on Duffy. We work for an organisation called Baptist Mission Australia. I imagine some of you have heard of Baptist Mission Australia. We're the kind of cross-cultural mission sending arm of the Australian Baptist movement. And Baptist Mission Australia work primarily amongst least reached peoples in Africa and Asia, endeavouring to share the gospel in word and deed in those contexts. See people come to faith, especially amongst minority groups or hard to reach people. So, that's the organisation.
Okay, awesome. So, second question. So, up in the last year, you were working in Central Asia, but now you're back in Australia. So, what brought you back and what's your role at Baptist Mission Australia?
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, so we were working in Central Asia and we were planning to be there for an extended time. We'd been there since the beginning of 2018. But in the middle of last year, we applied for a new visa. We were looking to move to a different location for a number of reasons. But our visa application got knocked back and got knocked back at a kind of security level. So we only had a very limited time left on our existing visa, and so we had to return to Australia unexpectedly, which was quite a shock and a real challenge for us. We had to spend a lot of time processing that. But we're now, for this next season, we're based in Sydney, and we're thinking about how we can ourselves connect with people of diverse backgrounds in our community, but also empower churches to do the same, to be reaching across cultural boundaries, building relationships, and sharing the hope of Jesus with their neighbours and their friends, especially those who are different from themselves, which I think needs intentionality. So that's our current role.
Cool. Yep. Thanks, Paul. Pass the time to you.
Thank you. Well, it's a real privilege for me to be here today. And I thank you, Nathan, for the invitation to come. When Nathan and I were chatting about what I might be able to share today, can I pop this up a bit? Is that okay? All right. We thought that rather than me coming and giving an exegetical sermon, that it actually might be more helpful for me to share a little bit more personally about my family and my experience in mission. And so I'm going to share briefly kind of about our 10-year journey that we've had in engaging in God's mission. And I'll bring in some scripture and some thoughts for you to think about as we go along. And so as I share today, I want to split kind of this talk into two sections. First, looking at our call, how God called us to mission, and then secondly, sharing a little bit about what God did in and through us in Central Asia, what mission looked like for us. And so, yeah, my hope and prayer is that would be an encouragement for you to think about how God might be calling you to engage in his mission, both here, but also potentially overseas as well. Does that sound okay? All right, well, let me pray and then I'll start. Lord God, I just thank you for the privilege it is to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you that no matter where we're from, no matter what our background, no matter what our story, in Jesus we are unified. We are one family. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love that you showed us. And we pray that you would empower us to share that with others. Lord, as I just share today, as I share our story, Lord, I pray that this would be encouragement for all and that your spirit would be at work. Thank you that you are here with us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Naomi and my mission our journey in mission actually began all the way back in 2005 when we were in our early 20s. So we were dating at the time. We weren't yet married, but we had the opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip to China, of all places, with our church. I'm the son of a Baptist pastor. And my dad led a team to go and visit another team who were working in Kunming. I imagine some of you have been there or from there even, potentially. So it was my first time overseas, and it was in Kunming that I first began to understand God's heart for all nations. I remember standing on a mountaintop, and this is actually a photo when we were there in 2005, looking over the city. We spent some time just praying over the people of Kunming, asking that they would have the opportunity to hear the gospel. They would come to know Jesus. And together we sang a refrain from a song, I think it was by Hillsong, called And we sang, "Oh Lord, I ask for the nations." And I was greatly moved in my spirit because, you know, it dawned on me that God truly loved the people of that place, that he wanted them to come to know him. It became real. And later, Naomi and I spent some time in prayer, and we just made a commitment to God. We said, "Lord, we are open to wherever you want to lead us in this life, even if that potentially means engaging in intercultural mission in an overseas context." Honestly, that wasn't an easy prayer to pray, but I think that was the beginning of our journey. That was the catalyst. So we fast forward 7 years to 2012. I'd been working for 6 years as a software engineer. Naomi and I had been married for 5. We had a 6-month-old boy, Ryan. Life was busy, and it just felt like time was sweeping by. Having been in the rental market for a long time, we began to think about whether we should buy a home. And we even went as far as meeting with a mortgage broker. But actually, God had other ideas. Through various conversations and circumstances, we were reminded that we need to include God in a decision like that. You know, owning your own home, it's been said many times, it's the great Australian dream. But was that what God was calling us to as a family at that time? So we're at this crossroads, and we're trying to figure out and discern God's will in this. But rather than sitting back and waiting for a sign, we actually felt we needed to proactively seek God's will for our lives. What was he calling us to? And so we decided that rather than at that point going and buying a home, that we needed to go to Bible college. That would be a way that we could truly seek him. And so I quit my job as an engineer. We moved onto campus at Morling College, Baptist College here in Sydney. And I started full-time study. And we had, at that point, no idea exactly where that would lead. But we just wanted to trust God in everything. And it's at this point that I want to pause and just reflect a little on that. You know, if I think now about that decision, the decision we made to go to Bible college rather than continuing to work full-time and to buy a home in 2012, from a worldly point of view, that makes no sense. Financially, that wasn't a very smart decision. Having come back to Sydney now with the housing and the rental market as it is, there are times when I wonder, what if we didn't go to college? What if we owned our own home right now? How much easier would our lives be? But when I start thinking that way, I need to remind myself of what this life is all about. I need to remind myself, actually, of the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And I just want to read some of these to you this morning. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jumping down to verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And then down in verse 33, he sums it up like this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." These words of Jesus, they are so countercultural, aren't they? They're so challenging that they push against those fibers in our being that want earthly security, that want control, that want material possession. And now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a mortgage or it's wrong to have cars, earthly possessions, those things. But if they are what we are truly living for, if that is what occupies our hearts, then that's just not what God calls us to. Jesus says we're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That is what truly matters. We can trust him to take care of the rest. And honestly, that hasn't always been easy for us, but as a family, we can testify that God has provided for us every step of the journey, even going beyond our expectations, and so we just need to keep trusting in Him. Okay, getting back to our story now. Upon starting college, I had the opportunity to serve as a student pastor, actually just around the corner from here at Thornley Community Baptist Church. I really enjoyed this, and I sensed that there was a possibility that maybe actually God was calling my family and I to pastoral ministry. But still there was this conviction that we had to pursue the possibility that He was calling us overseas. And so for us, while we're at college, we actually really wanted to pursue that. And so we went to mission conferences, we journeyed with mission agencies, we had conversations with cross-cultural workers, and we even did a six-week trip to Southeast Asia to visit a Baptist Mission Australia team that was serving there, just to explore, well, what might it look like as a family for us to live in a cross-cultural context? As we did this, we became increasingly convicted of Christ's call to go and to make disciples of all nations. I know you're all familiar with the Great Commission, but let me just remind you of these famous words of Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Later in Acts 1:8, Jesus reiterates this call when He tells His disciples that they will be His witnesses throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And you know, the amazing thing is, as Christians today, living in Australia, we are the ends of the earth. We are the fruit of that work that those disciples began so faithfully 2,000 years ago. But as I can see you are all aware, this work still continues and needs to continue today. And so, yeah, as Naomi and I considered this call to cross-cultural, to intercultural mission, we became convicted that this Great Commission, actually, it wasn't just for those first disciples 2,000 years ago. We truly believe that living out that call is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. We have this privilege to partner with God in His mission to redeem people of all nations. And so we believe that no matter who we are, if we're Christians, if we're followers of Jesus, we are called to this. This is what life is about. So the question isn't if we should engage in God's mission, but where we should do it and who is God calling us to reach. And so we sought God on that, and we began to develop this real heart for least reach people groups. You know, of the 16,000 people groups in the world today, there are still 6,000 who are considered least reached. And that's around a third of the world's population. These groups, they don't have access to the gospel for various reasons, be it cultural, linguistic, political, or otherwise. And many people in these groups go from birth to death without ever having heard the good news of Jesus. I don't know about you, but for me, that's heartbreaking. You know, 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God desires that all people would be saved and that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. But it's also true, still today, as it was then, that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So Naomi and I, we had this growing heart for the least reach, for cross-cultural mission, and yet, after 2 years of Bible college and after journeying with mission agencies for that time, we still weren't sure. I'd change my mind on a weekly basis. You know, do we stay and do serve here in some way, or do we pursue going somewhere? But one weekend, everything changed for us. We went away on a discernment weekend with Baptist Mission Australia. And we had the opportunity to spend a significant amount of time in prayer and in reflection. And in that time, we realised that actually our main motivations for staying, they were more to do with a desire for comfort, for security, for an easier transition for our family after we left college. It was our fear of the unknown that was truly holding us back. And so we were down in Kiama on the south coast, and I was sitting on the rocks. I was just praying and looking out over these beautiful waters on a Saturday morning. And as I was praying, actually the words of a worship song came into my mind, and I actually genuinely felt like they were being spoken over me and into my life. With these words, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, where my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour." They come from a worship song called Oceans. But I felt like in that moment, God was calling me to trust him and to literally go across borders and waters for his sake and for the sake of those who do not know him. At the same time, God spoke powerfully to Naomi through a verse from 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is a verse where God speaks to the Apostle Paul and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." On that day, it dawned on us that no matter whether we felt like we were up to it or not, God is able. He will empower us to do whatever task he sets before us. And so we made that commitment to work as intercultural missionaries in an overseas context. Before I move on to the second part and just talked a little bit about how God worked in and through us in our time in Central Asia, I just want to put a question to you all today. Have you considered the possibility that just maybe God might be calling you to overseas mission? Is that a question you've considered? Are you open to God's call on your life, no matter where that leads? As I said earlier, as an organisation, Baptist Mission Australia, we work in various contexts throughout Africa and Asia, and we're endeavouring to take the gospel in word and deed to least reach peoples. Our teams are in need, and we would love to have more people join them. And so if you are open to exploring mission, we would love to journey with you. I would love to chat to you after the service, but we are just one of many organisations. And so there are many opportunities out there if you have a particular heart for a particular place or if God leads you somewhere. But all I want to encourage you to do today is just consider that possibility. Pray about that possibility and see where the Holy Spirit might lead. It's not easy. I know I've been there. But I would just encourage you to think about that. Okay, I want to move on now and share with you a little bit about our 4 years in Central Asia. For security reasons, I can't publicly share where we were or the particular name of the people group we were working with. And I can't share any photos either. But hopefully you'll get a bit of a picture through what I say. You know, after we discerned that God was calling us to cross-cultural mission, we then had to figure out, well, where in the world is he leading us? Where does he want us to be? It's a long story as to how we got there, but over time, through various people and situations, God really felt, we really felt convicted to join a team with Baptist Mission Australia who were working in Central Asia amongst a people group who we call the H people. So the H people are a Muslim minority group made up of millions of people, but there are only a hundred known believers amongst them and no actually known communities of faith. The majority of H people have never heard the good news. Many of them don't even know of Jesus as a prophet. They know his name, and that's probably about it. So the H people, culturally, they actually have a lot in common with the majority people of the country, but their key distinctive is their practice of the Islamic faith. That's what sets them apart, and it means their ethnic and their religious identities are really intrinsically linked. You know, to be H is to be Muslim. And so that's one of the reasons that they're least reached. So at the beginning of 2018, we had around 20 boxes shipped to Central Asia, basically all our belongings. We jumped on a plane with our 3 kids, who were 6, 4, and 1 at the time. Honestly, it feels pretty surreal. And I think back to that and I think, we're crazy. But we moved to a city of around 2 million people in a desert region where there are a significant number of H people. And so our vision, our heart, was to build genuine friendships, to share the gospel in word and deed with these people, and to see H people come to faith and then figure out for themselves, well, what does it look like to be a person of a H background but also a follower of Jesus? We wanted to see them wrestle with the scriptures identify for themselves, well, how do we follow Jesus in this context? So we didn't want to bring Western culture with the gospel, but just the gospel. And just allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. We really were hoping to see a movement of faith amongst them, amongst their families, amongst their communities. And that's the goal that all of our Baptist Mission Australia teams have. Now, I want to be honest with you this morning and say, you know, while there was a lot of good that happened in our time in Central Asia, it was not easy for us as a family. Obviously, in that 4.5 year window that we were there, there was COVID, and that was a big issue that we've all had to deal with. But that wasn't the only thing. You know, we experienced the challenge of genuine opposition to faith from the authorities especially. We saw a large number of missionaries and cross-cultural workers have to leave the context we're in. We saw local believers under pressure. We even saw our H friends experience pressure and suppression. The international school where my wife worked about a year before we left, that closed down, so our kids couldn't go to that school anymore. And then unexpectedly, in the middle of last year, we had to return to Australia. So things didn't quite go as we anticipated. But I wouldn't change it for anything. I still believe that God called us to those people in that place for that season. God still loves them. He still wants them to come to know him. And he's still at work there, even though we cannot be. And despite all the challenges that we faced, God was actually really faithful through it all. He sustained us. He cared for us. He did protect us. And he gave us opportunities to share the hope we have in Jesus. The challenge for us was just continuing to trust in him. And we just kept coming back to that verse, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." That was our mantra the whole time we were there. And so you might be wondering, well, what does it look like in that kind of context to engage in mission? And it's true that we had to be cautious, we had to be careful. But there's a word that I want to introduce to you, and I think it really sums up our approach to mission there, and actually it sums up our approach to mission as an organisation. And it's this word, alongsiders. So we sought to be alongsiders amongst the H people of Central Asia. And this meant that we sought to come alongside and journey with H people to get to know them and how they saw the world. Really, this approach is about building genuine friendships. And in the context of those relationships, endeavouring to share Christ's love and to share the gospel. So we really sought to enter that context not as saviours, but as humble learners. You know, we strongly believe that if we're going to show Christ's love to our H friends, then listening and learning needed to be our first priority. And so throughout our 4 or so years there, we committed ourselves to learning the language and the culture of the H people. We saw this not as a means to an end to get to the real mission work, but we saw that in and of itself as mission. That was a key part of it. It was ministry. It was showing love to the H people. And in doing this, we, in many ways, were seeking to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. Paul was specifically called by Jesus, we know, to take the gospel to both Jew and to Gentile. And this is how Paul explains his approach to mission. He says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So Paul sought to engage with people where they were at. Well, the message of the gospel, it never changes. Paul's approach, the way he shared and he demonstrated the gospel, that did change. As it says at the end of that passage, he became all things to all people. And of course, for Paul to do that, he had to come alongside and understand the people he was sharing with. As an example of what it looked like for me to be alongside her in Central Asia, I just want to share about a friendship that I had with a guy who I'll call Mike. Mike was my language and culture tutor while we were in Central Asia. He couldn't speak a word of English, and actually that was to my benefit while we were there. It was really helpful for getting thrown in the deep end and having to learn language. And so we would do anywhere between kind of 10 to sometimes even 20 hours a week in one-on-one language learning. So that was pretty intense. But I learned language and culture through storytelling, through conversation. It was my heart to truly understand Mike and his culture, his language, so that I could show him love and share the good news of Jesus with him in ways that would make sense to him. But one of the things I noticed that as I took that genuine interest in Mike, you know, my desire to understand his world, my curiosity about his culture, his upbringing, his stories, this actually helped to really break down barriers. As I showed interest in Mike, it validated him. It honoured him. It showed him that I genuinely cared. And so by God's grace, over time, we became really, really close friends. You know, Mike invited my family and I into his world. We were invited to weddings, to cultural celebrations, to barbecues, to other meals. He introduced us to his family and his friends. He graciously received us, welcomed us into his community. And this was a real privilege and a real honour for us. But more than this, as I came alongside and I showed interest in Mike, he asked questions about my life, about my upbringing, and we had ongoing conversations about the deeper matters of life. Mike opened up to me about the various personal challenges and about his beliefs in religious practice. And he shared with me the fact that actually, he and his family, they didn't really live up to the standards that their Islamic faith set. And it was a great burden and a great concern for him. And so even though my language is limited, I was able to share with him about the hope we have in Jesus. In the last 6 months that we were there, Mike and I worked our way through various stories in the New Testament from the Gospels in his local language, starting with Christ's birth, looking at his teaching, miracles, and finishing with his death and resurrection only weeks before we had to leave. And I was able to share with Mike this, the wonder of grace, this belief we have, you know, that actually there's no way for us to earn our way into heaven, into God's good books. But if we trust in Jesus, that he died in our place and rose again, our sins are forgiven and we can be made right with God. We all know that, don't we? But sometimes we forget what a privilege it is that we know that. We know that in our hearts. So I was able to explain grace and not works, and that we live our lives in response to that, not in order to earn our way to salvation. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you that in that moment Mike became a believer, but as of yet, as far as I know, he hasn't. But seeds have been sown, and we're really praying that God will continue to water those, and that in time he will come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. God is still there, even though we can't be now. Now, there's a lot that I could say more about our time in Central Asia. But I hope that just gives you a bit of a snapshot as to our approach, as to what it looks like to be an alongsider. And so as we embark on a new season of ministry here in Sydney, in essence, we want to do the same thing here. We want to love the people around us, first and foremost, by showing a genuine interest in them, by caring about who they are, where they've come from, their stories, their cultures. We want to be welcoming, hospitable, to show love. And we want to build long-term friendships, and then in that context, share the love and hope of Jesus. even though we're back here in Australia, we still believe we have that call to make disciples of all nations. And we want to encourage other Christians and churches to be doing the same. Earlier on, I encouraged you all to consider whether God might be calling you to mission, perhaps in an overseas context. And I do ask that you genuinely pray and even talk to others about that. Again, I'd love to talk to you afterwards if that's something that's on God's put on your heart this morning. But I do also want to say that no matter who we are, no matter where we are as followers of Jesus, we're actually all missionaries. We're all called to mission. We're called to share and to show the love of Jesus with those around us. And all of you know that there are so many in our community who don't yet know Jesus. They don't know the freedom that we have in Christ. There are so many that actually have never really heard the gospel. And so this morning I also want to ask you to consider, well, what would it look like for you to embrace being an alongsider in the context where you live and you work and you play? You know, as Christians, it can be quite easy for us to spend a lot of our time with other Christians or in a kind of church context. But the reality is that most of our neighbours probably will never walk through these doors, no matter which church we're from. We need to go to them to build genuine friendships with them. And so I just want to ask this morning, well, who is Jesus calling you to come alongside? Is there someone that God is putting on your heart? Someone he's bringing to your mind who doesn't yet know him? How might you, in humility, come alongside them and just be truly present in their lives? I understand that your theme throughout this May Mission Month is Mission is Me. And you know, yet mission comes from God and his love for all people, but it is true that God chooses to do his mission, to carry out his mission through you and I. The question is, are we willing to step into that? Be that here or overseas? We really need God's help in this. It's only by the power of the Spirit that anything can happen. And so let's just pray together. Just as we close our eyes, I just want to give you a little bit of time to just reflect on those questions, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord God, we just firstly want to thank you for the grace that you have shown us in Jesus. Thank you that we do not have to earn our way to heaven. There's nothing we can do. We know as sinners, we all fall short of your glory. But we thank you that because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, we are forgiven and we have new life in you. We can have a relationship with you. Lord, we are very much aware of your call to go and to make disciples of all nations. And Lord, we're very much aware that we all have a role to play in that, be that here or abroad. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to have our hearts and our eyes open to those around us, to those in our community. Lord, I pray that you give us the time and the energy, the motivation, the capacity to just get to know people around us, to come alongside them, to be present in their lives. And I pray that you would give us opportunities to show them your love and grace and to share the hope we have in Jesus. But Lord, I also pray that if there are any in this room who you are stirring in to think about the possibility of serving you as in an overseas context, Lord, I just pray that, yeah, you just help them to just step into that one step at a time. Lord, that they would be open to your call. We thank you for your Spirit and that you give us your Spirit to empower us in this task. We thank you for the privilege it is to participate with you in mission. Just go before us in everything, we pray. Amen.